This is Smoke Radio, the roundup.
I think it's partly what Lip said, and it's also, I mean, it's also has to do with what you just mentioned about tutors knowing your name. I'm in my final year now, and I mean, I study development studies and international relations. I wrote an article for the QH in the previous edition regarding intervention in Syria, and my module leader, he read it the first day it came out, and he sent me an email telling me that he was pleased with the way I structured it and everything. He was happy with it. And on the same day, he saw me in the corridor, and he mentioned my name, and I got excited, thinking, wow, Aiden knows my name. This is a top lecturer who who's writing books and articles. And I was thinking, Aiden knows my name. So it's part of that, sort of getting lecturers to know the students better. And also importantly, it's about students feeling like they belong to their university. It's about, I mean, we've spoken to many students. I mean, I have here, this is a survey we did. We decided to run in September. And in November, we did a survey in all different campuses where we asked students one question, which is basically, list three things you believe the university should provide that it's currently not providing. And we had students, we asked students to list three things, and they listed it. And it's, the recurring theme there was about lack of identity. Yeah. Students don't feel like they belong to the university. They mainly come into the university, they study, and they go back home, and that's it.
Yeah.
So there is no sense of belonging or community, and that's what we're trying to change.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons behind us.
Okay, so how do you believe you'll achieve this? Because it's quite a big thing to do, considering we've got around 20,000+
students. And everyone talks a lot about bringing everyone together, but no one's got a really concrete plan, have they?
Yeah. About how.
A mission statement sort of thing. So how would you go about doing it? Because if anything, it's easier for the VPs because they're just head of one campus.
Yes.
But you'd be head of all of the campuses. Yes. So I think it's a lot more challenging for you to bring everyone together rather than bringing people together in a single campus.
Yeah, but then I think firstly, the way I'd approach this is to work with my VPs. Even though I'd be the president and I would have VPs, and as you mentioned, it would be much easier for the VPs to do it. It's about working as a team player. It's about motivating the VPs to actually do it. And also, I can't tell you that I have a grand plan of how to achieve it. That would be a lie on my part. One of the ways in which we're looking to do this is to promote events better. I believe the SU, as it is right, as it stands right now, lacks publicity. We need to publicize things better. And one of the ways we intend to do that, is by using the tannoys in the library. So we would come up with event times or announcement times, say 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 6 p.m., where announcements would be made whilst students are studying in the library. So those would be announcement times, and you'd be given a list of events taking place on that day. And at 6 p.m., you'd be given a list of events that take place the next day. So that's a way of getting better to students. Not many students read posters. Not many students go on Facebook, but at times the SU doesn't do a good job passing that across to students effectively. So we are trying to sort of catch them in the library, you know, when they're doing the sort of last minute exam, or revision or studying for the modules. That's one of the ways. And also importantly, it's about, say, the central London campuses, for example, bringing back the SU intermission bar. So that's one thing we're actually looking to do, bringing back the bar, because it's about building a community. Not everyone goes to the bar to get drunk. It's about creating a platform for everyone to come together to socialise.
Yeah, social space.
That's one of the ways.
And why is an on-campus bar more important? Because we've got the Loop Bar, which is like our go-to in central London. But why is it important to bring it back on campus?
Great. Jamie, I think you've got to understand that we have a partnership with Loop Bar, but Loop Bar is not Westminster Bar. Students... With the Loop Bar, we have deals with them, but not many students actually know where the Loop Bar is.
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's kind of hidden. It's in a little side.
Seriously, I mean, I went there for the first time. Sorry to interrupt. I went there for the first time after the ACS event. No, ACS, the variety show event.
Oh, yeah.
I went there for the first time after the event, and it was okay. But then we need our own student union bar. It's about us, our community.
Yeah.
Loop is not part of Westminster. Westminster should develop its own community outside of Loop Bar. So it's about having what belongs to us. It's about students finishing their lectures and having 2 hours between lectures or 3 hours between lectures and being able to go to the bar to socialize. So we're saying, give us something where we can go to. Yeah. I mean, and you have first year students or international students that have nothing, they have nowhere to go to. Having a Loop Bar, I mean, having a bar in Malibu campus where we actually have accommodation could actually be very, very good, where students could easily go to. I mean, look at this campus, for example, Harrow. Harrow has a bar. I'm sure that's been very helpful to the students that live here. So it's about
especially at lunchtime.
Exactly. So it's about giving us that thing where we all come together. And students want to do this, but there is no means to do it. And it's not just about creating a bar, but it's about creating a bar and making it approachable to students, making it live for students to go to. And that's the plan.
Awesome. Oh, brilliant. And you also talk about in your manifesto, like I've said this, you know, again and again, for people who've just, like, you know, tuned in, you can get all the manifestos online. But you say here, Lee Lekin, that you say that you talk about a Head Start initiative. And it seems it's more of a kind of like business partnership with the university. I could be getting it wrong, but like, so what's it all about?
The idea behind the Head Start initiative is to create partnerships between our university and top businesses around our university campus sites, and also to create partnerships between our university and top universities around the country. I'll deal with the first one, the business aspect of it. When I was at college, we had UBS, which is United Bank of Switzerland, come to our college every year to pick four students to take part in an internship program. And for them, that was their way of giving back to the community. That was their way of saying, we operate in this community and we'll give back to you. And it's about sort of selling the same idea, pushing the same initiative to businesses around our campus sites. And I mean, if you look at Regent Street, Cavendish, we have Harrow here, we have Marylebone. It's about getting businesses that operate in those areas to give back to the community by giving us opportunity to take part in internships and work experience. So by the time you finish your university, you wouldn't be leaving university with just a degree. You'd be leaving university with a degree and work experience. So that's the idea behind that. So that's the Head Start. And I mean, if you look at the current job market, we are discriminated against as graduates because we lack experience. So we're trying to equip students with work experience alongside their degree.
Okay, awesome, right. And so you want to do that for all the campuses? So,
all campuses.
So for people at the Harrow campus, they'd get more of, like, so everyone would get it in their field of, so it wouldn't just be like banks and those kind of businesses. It could be like film houses and
everything. Everything. I mean, it's not something it wouldn't happen. We don't have a grand plan to get everyone on board instantly, but it's about getting all campuses to get involved in it. And even students can suggest to us businesses that they think could be good and would look to bring them on board.
Oh, brilliant.
Awesome.
And you also talk here, Lekin, about the biannual module conference. So just tell us a bit about this. So I think Lee just talked about it a bit before, about people will often, they'll read something about a module that they want to pick and they'll be like, oh yeah, that's great, and they'll pick it, and it actually turns out to be nothing like what they expected.
Yes, that's actually the idea behind it. I'll sort of refer you back to the survey we did in November, where we sort of spoke to students about the needs they feel like they're lacking. And one of the recurring themes about that is the lack of clarity in the module selection process. So we came up with the idea of getting our lecturers to present, to give us a brief overview of the modules prior to choosing the modules, because what tends to happen is that before you choose your module, you get a paragraph online giving you a description of the module, and students turn up to the seminar or the lecture for the first time and realize that, wow, I didn't sign up for this. Some students end up failing, some students end up dropping out halfway through, and some students take the initiative to quickly change to a different module. It can be very, very stressful. So we're saying, let's get rid of all that. Let's get our lecturers to give us the right information at the right time, as early as possible, so we can make the right decision. So before the year ends, we would have a module fair conference where students and lecturers would give a brief presentation on the modules, and students would be able to get a rough idea of what the module would be about and choose based on there. And that's the idea behind that. And we spoke to the politics and international relations department about it, and they said it's a good idea. And from next year, they'll be doing that. So even before being elected, we're already sort of speaking to individual lecturers.
Yeah, you're already 1 point when you haven't even got into office.
That's always a good start.
Oh, brilliant. Awesome. And is there any way, because it's all very well like us asking you questions, but there's probably a whole load of questions that the listeners have for you as well. So is there any way that listeners can get in contact with you if they have any questions or anything that they just want to clear up with you? So do you have like an email address or Facebook or anything that they can get in contact with you with?
Yes, we have our Facebook page. It's Lex, L-E-K-S, and it's the short N, not the A-N-D, the short sign, and okay. Lieb, L-E-E-B. That's it, really. Fine. Then after the names, not numbers, and that's it. And also importantly, I should actually mention that for sports societies and sort of students that use the gym, we've also managed to renegotiate the gym from £130 a year to £120, so sort of bringing down the cost for students get active, and that's sort of
This is Smoke Radio, the Roundup.